This is Paul Soldrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. You're listening to the Roundhouse Podcast. Thank you very much for your time. Today, we're going to talk to Vlad Bondarchuk. Vlad is in his second year as a student manager for the Wichita State volleyball team. He's a junior here at Wichita State, majoring in accounting and management information systems. Vlad grew up in Smila, which is a Ukrainian city of about 66,000 in the central region of the country. He has family, friends in Ukraine, so he's here to talk about the Russian invasion, how he's handling this difficult time, and how people can reach out and help refugees in the Ukraine. So let's start there. Vlad, you're taking money to help the refugees. Tell people how they can get in contact with you and what the money goes for.
Well, hello. My name is Vlad. And I started collecting money a few weeks ago. And I guess the reason why I started doing that is because I just see, you know, I kept checking social media and I saw a lot of my friends trying to do something good, like for Ukraine, to help them, like in these difficult times. So I thought that while I'm here, I also got to do something. And I guess an alternative could be to collect supplies and try to ship them. But the problem with that is that, well, first of all, it costs a lot to ship. And secondly, you know, it's going to take like a week or two to get stuff there, which can be too long. So I thought that financial help is the best thing that I can do. So the first donation that I sent was about 2 weeks ago. I sent that money to my parents, and my parents went to my high school that I went to, and they talked to the principal. And my principal said that my high school served like a home for refugees. And, you know, it was kind of wild to hear this story from my mom. But she said, when you walk into the classroom, there's no desks, no computers, nothing. You see a bed, a mattress, blankets, and pillows. So when I sent the first money there, once again, my principal gave a list of things that are just, you know, just some essential snacks or socks, just things that everybody could use. So my mom bought a lot of, she texted me to send me pictures too. She bought coffee, tea, sugar, cookies, fruits, vegetables, like I mentioned, socks, ramen noodles, some food in cans, you know, just the most essential things that anybody could use. And the plan is to, so once they passed it to my school, people who work there, they're going to distribute those in small packages. Let's call those goodie bags. And they're gonna distribute them between refugees and soldiers. And then the second time that I sent money is actually going towards medication. My mom, she used to work as a nurse in my hometown, so she still has connections all over. And, you know, she reached out because I told her, hey, just find somewhere where this money can go for a good cause. So she reached out to the hospital that she used to work at, and they said that they could use some essential medicine like bandages, alcohol, just very simple things. So my mom has been shopping for those with my dad.
Okay, I will include Vlad's email and Venmo in the show notes so you can reach him through there. Vlad, I'll let you tell people what's the best way to get a hold of you. And then Coach Chris Lamb is also raising money, so you can tell us about those ways to donate.
So Chris Lamb was probably the first one who responded like immediately with my idea and fundraiser. And he told me, Vlad, okay, tomorrow I'm going to bring a bucket. I'm going to paint it in Ukrainian flag colors, which is blue and yellow. Blue represents sky and yellow represents wheat. And he said that I'm going to write on it Ukrainian bucket and I'm going to walk around and collect donations. And he said that his club team was supposed to play like that weekend or something. And he said that I will go to my tournament and I will always carry that bucket with me so that people can donate money at any time. So I thought it was kind of, you know, it was kind of funny, but it was also very, like, encouraging. And, like, I guess it was just nice to see support from people that, that surround me. The best way to get a hold of me is, it's either my email or my phone, or if you know me in person, just come talk to me. But I mean, yeah, I check my email very regularly, so that's probably the most convenient way for somebody who doesn't know me.
Okay, and like I said, I will include his email address in the show notes. You'll be able to get a hold of him. I've seen the bucket. That's a very crafty Chris Lamb thing to do. He's very good at those kind of things, so that's what we would expect from him, I think. Vlad, tell us about Smila and growing up in Ukraine. Give us a sense for what the country is like.
So, I guess let's start with geography. The geography in Ukraine varies. We have regions that are just flat. Reminds me of Kansas. We have regions that have more hills. And we have two sets of mountains. We have two accesses to the sea where people can go to the beach for summer vacation or, you know, just to have rest or just go for a weekend. My hometown has approximately a population of, I want to say, 66,000 people. It's in the middle of Ukraine, so it's really convenient to go to any part of Ukraine. Well, I guess compared to United States, it's probably quite a big city, but for me, it's always been a small town where everybody knows everybody. So, I knew a lot of people in my high school, and my parents knew their parents. So, I would say it's just like a big, like it's a small big world.
And tell us about your family.
Yeah, my dad is 52 years old, and my mom is 49. My dad, he used to work as an engineer back in USSR. He would work creating like TVs, televisions. And my mom, she was a nurse. And then I also have a brother who is 31 years old. And he is actually from Kyiv, which is the capital of Ukraine. And he has a wife who is a cosmetologist and a dentist. And he also has a son who is 2 years old.
I've learned borscht is a big favorite in Ukraine. Tell us about the food, the customs, those kind of things.
When I firstly came to the U.S., I guess I was kind of surprised how much people like to eat out here. And if I compare it to where I grew up, people cook at home a lot. So I'm always used to seeing homemade stuff. Somebody's always at the kitchen making dinner or supper or breakfast. I miss food from back home, but I also can't complain about food here. It's pretty good as well.
What's your favorite food in Ukraine?
Like you mentioned, it's borscht, definitely.
And describe borscht.
It's a kind of soup that's cooked from beet. And it also, like, usually you make it with some kind of meat too, which adds like the texture and it also adds really good flavor to it. But I mean, usually you just take like a bowl of borscht and you take a piece of bread, and it's really good.
And that's the meal. It's the meal. How did you get into volleyball?
I want to say I was 13 years old, and I always loved soccer. So I've been always playing soccer. And then at some points I saw just a bunch of people like passing the volleyball ball around. And I looked at them and it looked kind of fun. So I came to them and I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, we're just playing volleyball. And I was like, well, cool. Like, can I try? And that's kind of how it all started.
And is volleyball a big sport in Ukraine? Give us a sense for the popularity.
Well, number one sport is soccer. And then I would say between number two and number three, it's basketball and volleyball. They're kind of pretty equal, I would say.
Who's Ukraine's most famous male athlete?
It's probably Andriy Shevchenko or Vitaly Shevchenko. It's probably Andriy Shevchenko, who is a soccer player, and he played for Chelsea, which is a soccer club in England, for many, many years, and then he coached our national soccer team, and they were doing pretty good when he was a coach. But I think that he retired like 1 year or 2 years ago.
How about female athlete? Who would be the most well-known?
Female athletes. It's hard to say if we have like a world-known female athlete, but we have a few good track athletes that win championships around Europe.
Okay. Tell us about your journey to the United States. How did you get here?
My journey started in 2017 when I came to the States as an exchange student. My exchange year was in a little town near Wichita called Rose Hill. And I guess the kind of weird part was that when I came here, I was 16 years old, and I just finished my sophomore year in high school back home. But when I came here, they put me as a senior. So I guess it was kind of strange to be around kids who are 2 years older than me, and they're about to graduate, go to college, while I'm still a high school student. But it was definitely a great experience. I learned a lot, met a lot of people. My view on the world just changed completely.
So how did your experience in Rose Hill as an exchange student, how did that change your view on the world?
You know, I feel like it's like the more you travel and the more you see how other things work, the more it changes your view on the world. And like I said, you learn a lot and you start thinking. So here's a simple example. Back in Ukraine, like giving a handshake, it's very, very common. And you do it all the time. You know, if you meet a friend or if you meet your dad or your uncle or your grandpa, while here, it's probably not as common. And, you know, when you experience both ways of doing things, you start thinking, okay, you know, which way do I like more? Or which way I feel like is more appropriate or just a better way? And I feel like those little details, when you get a lot of them and when you start thinking about them, it kind of helps to form you as an individual. That makes sense.
Sure. So you learned Americans like to go out to eat. What else did you learn about Americans? What other impressions did you get?
I think the most popular one is that Americans love sport. It's, you know, it's really hard to go somewhere and to meet somebody who has not played sports at all in their life or in their childhood.
Have you picked up an American sport that you didn't know much about in Ukraine that you now enjoy?
Yeah, I tried to watch baseball, not my favorite, but I do love football.
Football's entertaining. Baseball, I've tried to explain baseball to people from another country, and when you start explaining it, you do kind of get how kind of ridiculous the sport is in some ways. I enjoy it, but it can be difficult to follow, no doubt. Okay, you're at Rose Hill. You go to Cali College for a year. How did you end up at Wichita State?
It was kind of random. I think it was like middle of June, and out of nowhere, I just get an email from Chelsea Scott, who's an assistant coach at Wichita State for volleyball program, and she just sends me an email and she says, "Hi, this is Chelsea. I'm an assistant coach at Wichita State, and I was wondering if you're interested in potentially becoming a volleyball manager for the upcoming year." And I said yes.
And she knew you through Shockwave Volleyball Club?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so, yeah, what was the attraction of being part of the Shocker Volleyball program?
Well, I guess to begin with, volleyball is a sport that I absolutely love, and it's something that I've been really interested and passionate about over the past years. And then secondly, I feel like becoming part of a D1 program, D1 successful program, is a huge opportunity that not everybody gets, and they can also benefit you a lot because you get to see the game at another level, at a way higher level than most places.
When's the last time you went home?
Last time I went to Ukraine was over this summer break. So it would have been summer 2021. And I left, I want to say it was end of May. Actually, no, I think it was in the middle of May because my brother has a birthday on May 19th. So I came right before his birthday. And I stayed there all the way till... So I spent the whole June, and I got to travel around Ukraine. I also went to Chernobyl in the end of June, and then I came back on the beginning of July.
So we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning. Ukrainian President Zelensky spoke before Congress, showed a video of Ukraine before the invasion, Ukraine currently. He was asking for support from the United States. You watched that. It apparently was very successful. Got a lot of support, a lot of applause from the people in Congress. What was your reaction to his speech in the film?
So I've been following a lot Zelensky's speeches because I guess it's one of the ways for me to receive real official information and updates about what's going on. And, you know, I think that he's a great speaker in front of the audience. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me to tell if it's just from his experience in the past or if it's because of how hyped up and how, you know, and how, like, how big of a patriot he is right now. Or maybe just a combination of both. But I definitely like to hear him talk because, like, you can just... I mean, to me, it just feels like he's being very sincere with what he says. And I think that that's great.
So take us back over the last few months. When did you begin to be concerned about the possibility of an invasion?
I feel like, you know, it was honestly really hard to believe that it's actually going to happen. And, you know, when I talk to my friends or my family, we're always kind of like discussing, like, what if? But, like, we were all hoping that what if will never actually happen. So, well, I guess, yeah, it was extremely hard to believe that it's now a reality, not just like an assumption or somebody's imagination.
You told me about a phone call from your brother. Take us through that. And I guess that was kind of maybe the beginning of the most stressful portion of this for you.
Yeah, for sure. So the difference between time in Kansas and time in Ukraine, where I grew up, is 8 hours. So Ukraine is 8 hours ahead of us. So I was going back from volleyball club practice, and I see that my brother is calling me, and at that time it was 10 p.m. here in Kansas. So in my head, you know, I did the math and I realized that it was 6 a.m. And my brother is never, like, he's never up at 6 a.m. in the morning. So I pick up a phone, you know, and I already know that something is not good. And the first thing he said, the war started, they attacked. And, like, that just hit me right away. And, you know, I was like, okay, like, what's happening? What are you going to do? And he told me that, like I mentioned before, he lives in Kyiv. And he said that you can hear explosions from different, like, from different directions. And the electricity is off on the other side of the Kyiv. And he said that they're showing on the news that they didn't only attack Kyiv, they also attacked Kharkiv, which is another big city. And I want to say there were a few more because they started attacking right away, like, multiple locations.
So So what kind of emotions are running through your mind at this time? As you know, things have started and your family is in the middle of it.
I feel like for me, it's still hard to realize that it's actually happening, because when I see the recordings from some of those places, you know, I remember myself like spending time there or taking pictures. For example, if we talk about Kyiv, I've been there many, many, many times. And for me, it's just heartbreaking to see how now, instead of people walking, you see soldiers walking and you see tanks driving around. So I guess the emotions that I'm going through is still not willing to accept that it's reality. And some kind of, it's like a mixture of sadness and being angry and being frustrated, you know, and just hoping that it's all going to end as soon as possible.
How well are you able to keep up with family, with friends, checking on them, hearing from them?
Well, the first few days after the war started, I barely slept both days, and I didn't go to work, I didn't do homework. And I was constantly just checking news, calling my friends, calling my brother, calling my parents. So that's kind of the way how my first few days went, and it was just really hard for me to motivate myself to do something. But then at some point, you know, I just started to accept that things are not great there, but I'm not there, which is, once again, I mean, it's a good and a bad thing for me. But basically, I started to tell myself that I just need to keep going regardless of what's happening. And that's kind of how I started like to get back into normal routine.
What type of support are you getting from classmates, friends around Wichita State, people in the volleyball program?
To be honest, I was kind of surprised with how many people were trying to support me, trying to call, text me, or just tell me like words of support when they see me in person. And I guess, like I said, I was kind of surprised because some of those people, you know, last time I talked or last time I heard from them was like a few years ago, but they still remembered where I'm from and they reached out. And I thought that was, you know, it was just nice to know that I'm not alone in this difficult time.
What is not getting out about the situation or about Ukraine? What are Americans not hearing that maybe would be helpful or instructive for them to know about?
Frankly speaking, I don't really watch much news here. But I feel like overall the information that people are receiving here about Ukraine, I would say it's pretty accurate overall. Because like I mentioned before, many people were supporting me, which means that news here picked up about what was happening around the world, and they shared the information the proper way.
So you have class, you have volleyball, they're on spring break now, but you're in the midst of spring volleyball practice, so you've got things going on. How do you handle that, the stress of, I've got these things going on at home, but yet I've still got a life here?
To be honest, partially it feels more like a relief to me, because all those things, they keep me busy, they keep me distracted from the news. But I definitely think about it all the time, and I definitely check as much as I can, like on the people who are dear to me.
You said one of the things you wanted to accomplish was to spread good information. You think it's important that people are getting the right information from the right sources. Give people some advice. What sources can they, do you feel like they can trust that are giving an accurate portrayal of the situation?
What I do is I try to check multiple sources of news. So, for example, in my case, besides just watching Ukrainian news, I also try to to watch some of the Russian news. And, you know, sometimes I hear about things that even American news talk about here. So once I have a few like generators of news, then part of it is just common sense, part of it is logic, but you just kind of start putting things together, and you start realizing what you should trust more.
Okay, Vlad, thank you very much for your time. Once again, you can donate to Vlad, and that will help out the refugees in Ukraine. He's been using the money for food, for basic things, medical supplies, those kind of things back in Ukraine to help the people that need the help. I will put the information for contacting Vlad into the show notes for this. Vlad, thanks very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rick Neuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.